It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
Hello and welcome to Let Me Talk Details. This is a respite from the weekly whirlwind of top flight football. It's a space to break down the big picture topics and get into the details away from the game-by-game analysis. I'm David Mooney. As ever, the Athletic City correspondent Sam Lee is alongside me.
Hello.
Sam, what is on today's show?
We're debating City's best 11 from Guardiola's time at the club with some big calls about the likes of Sané and Sterling.
Let Me Talk Details is a platform for you to get involved as well. We'd love to hear from you, so email hello at lmtpod.com if you've got any questions, thoughts or ponderings about City or football in general. So then, Sam, let's talk Pep's all-time City 11. He's been here longer than any other City manager that I've ever known. So he's got a good bank of players that you can pick from. I'm going to let you decide kind of what you want to do in terms of setup, formation, style, all that sort of stuff. But we're going to cross eras of Pep's 11.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be a lot of like bankers. Like, yeah, obviously he's in.
Because you can't just go, all right, well, we'll just take the false nine team and then be done with it.
It could do. but then I feel like there's going to be there'll probably be some clashes. The goalie's obvious is Edison, isn't it?
You mean you're not picking Claudio Bravo?
No. I mean, Joe Hart was technically there for a bit. He was a Guardiola player for
briefly
a month or so. So you could put him in if you wanted to. Like, if you were going to have modern era City debate, who you'd rather go with, I'm sure some people would have.
But Pep's managing this team. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So in that case, it's just Edison, isn't it? And then the thing is, again, it's just Walker, and I guess one of the centre backs. I'm partly thinking what I'm going to say and also what everyone else is probably thinking, but I think Stones is going to be like the one, yeah, obviously, and then it's probably between Diaz and Kompany.
I'm picking Kompany. Yeah, I think Kompany.
Yeah, I think everyone.
See, I like Diaz. I like him and I like the partnership with Stones, but Kompany was... I think we've already hit that point where people don't remember how good Kompany was.
That's probably the case for me. I've said this before, like if he hadn't scored that goal against Leicester...
What did he really do?
Well, no, but I mean, in terms of like contributions for Guardiola or like his last few years at City, I don't remember him being a big part of it. But obviously before that, like, you know, he'd signed in, what, 2008?
Yeah.
So there was a considerable amount of time. It was basically 10 years before that goal. So I know. But in terms of like, you know, Guardiola era, I don't know how important he was.
Sorry, I was just stunned into silence because he was the epitome of the defence for the Centurions and for the domestic treble winners. And then that 1920 season, he was the massive miss. If he was there that season, they'd have probably won the league again.
Yeah, maybe that's because Fernandinho didn't have to go into defence. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe I'm just wrong. You know, people will be listening to this game. What you're talking about
again?
But yeah, not often. How many games did he play in those?
I don't know.
I don't remember him being any more key.
He was there for the running on both
than anybody else. Like, in the same way, you could say the same for Otamendi in 17-18, for sure.
But the bank of evidence around that season for Otamendi in both the Pep era and pre-Pep era is not great.
Yeah, no, I know, but like, if we're talking pre-Pep era being irrelevant, then, you know, because if Hart was going in,
yeah, but
then Hart was going in because of everything he did before.
But even if you're talking about that for Otamendi as being irrelevant, that's still one season. And then the seasons after that, he was good for a season.
Yeah, no, but what I mean is he made a huge contribution in that season, like Stones did in 17-18 as well in the first part of it. Like, I feel like there was a lot of kind of, especially in the Centurion season, the whole point going into the season was if anything happens to the left back, they're in trouble. If anything happens to Kompany, they're in trouble. And immediately they got injured. And then it was Stones and Otamendi for like 3 months. Then Stones got injured at Leicester. See, I don't remember this stuff.
Kompany was back for Leicester.
And then Mangala played a bit over Christmas, didn't he? And he was actually good. Kompany was back for Leicester, was he?
He was. Absolutely, definitely, because I remember Kompany and Stones was the partnership that I wanted, and Stones pulled up.
I mean, it is close between Kompany and Diaz for me. Obviously, again, like Diaz this season hasn't had like the best of seasons. It's like if we were having this conversation in May last year, there's obviously going to be like an even bigger argument for Diaz. I'm not saying he'd get in or like change your mind or people listening over Kompany, but it's easier to have that conversation when he's at the top of his game. But again, like, you could have had the conversation about Kompany at several points during his time at City under Guardiola, where there was a lot of just shine from what he'd already done, as opposed to what, I don't remember him being like a vital part of that defence. Like, I just really don't. Like I say, like, there was the Stones Otamendi partnership. Like, he was there, obviously he was good, and he did well when he played, but I don't remember him being like a huge part of it. Even with Diaz, like, in the way that Diaz is a big part of the defence and has been a big part of the defence in his own way, that's not particularly ball playing, it's not particularly like a classic Guardiola defender, but everyone kind of knows his influence since he arrived. And obviously people know Kompany's influence since he arrived. I'm just not sure he was quite at that level.
But my memory of Kompany in City's defence is not so much the ball playing stuff.
That's why we got Stones in.
But I would have said he was better at it than, or comfortably better at it than Diaz is currently. And then you throw into I do think so.
No way.
I do think
especially
so.
Especially like holding onto the ball.
You've never asked to do that though. In the way that Diaz is asked to hold the ball and draw the press. Kompany was never asked to do that.
No, it wasn't. I mean, and that is a fair argument. It's an argument that I use when I'm talking about players and that kind of thing, having got it from Julian Lescott. But
I feel like you give the ball to Kompany's feet.
There might have been a reason as well why he wasn't. I know that's not exactly how they played then, because they didn't have to attract the press so much. They didn't have to bait teams into doing it. So I get why he wasn't asked to do it, but I don't think he would have been bothered when
Kompany had the ball at his feet. And then when I think back of those moments that they really needed somebody to step in with a challenge, like last man challenge, get the ball, win it, dive in, you know, off the ground, stretch, get the studs on the ball and take the man and the ball. Mm. Like, Kompany was doing that. The blocks that Diaz makes, I see Kompany making those sorts of blocks.
Yeah,
down on one knee, arms behind your back, that sort of thing.
17 appearances in 17-18 and 18-19. It's not massive. I just really don't think that influence is there that much. I mean, you could argue for the goal against Leicester itself that he goes in for that kind of thing.
Diaz ain't doing that.
No, he's not, but he's playing more than 17 matches.
Fine.
But I mean, I introduced this debate as, you know, it's between these two for me, because I'm not sure, but I certainly don't think it's clear cut in Kompany's favour. Because I feel like, you know, if it was a modern era City, or maybe like an all-time City 11, if it's an all-time City 11, I think Kompany's going in it, hands down. But I think if you shift it to be the Guardiola era, I think, you know, he had his best period long before
Pre-Guardiola.
And he was still good at that point. And just even the fact that he came back from so many injuries. I remember my first season covering City with Pellegrini. there was like, obviously recently there was like a City documentary about De Bruyne's recovery. There was one about Kompany, wasn't there? Maybe Kompany put it out himself.
I think Kompany put it out himself. I can't remember. I do remember Pellegrini consistently, he came back from injury and the number of times he just went, right, okay, well, you'll play every minute of every game from now on until you get injured again. And then seven games later, he was limping off.
But like on this documentary, there were so many things, and like speaking to people at the time for articles, there were so many things he was doing and changing to try and get fit. And then he'd just like limp out of a game like immediately after coming back. And obviously, he got off to a slow start when Guardiola came in because he'd kind of ruptured his groin against Real Madrid in that semi-final under Pellegrini. And I think, same with Hart, I think Pep would have sold him that first summer if he'd have been fit. I'm pretty sure that was on the cards. But because he was injured, he weren't going anywhere anyway. And then, you know, there's a lot of players Pep would have sold that have ended up doing really well since. And
Aguero.
Obviously, Stones would have possibly gone in 2020 as well. I don't know. The thing is, I don't want it to look too much like just the team that won the treble, but I do feel like Diaz's influence has been greater. But I know Kompany was obviously like a huge loss when he left, and there's a huge presence around the team. And the reason Diaz was kind of needed was to kind of fill that
because Kompany wasn't there. Yeah,
a year later. But again, just I think you've got that presence off it, and like, Diaz is not. Diaz isn't Kompany, is he, in terms of off the pitch? You know, when Kompany is shouting, you go, okay, I better listen to this. If Diaz is shouting, you're like, all right, mate. But they do need it.
Dad's on one again.
Like, he did the mix zone after the derby. And I had a very specific, boring, tactical question that I was going to ask about 6 minutes in. Like, let everyone ask their kind of, what's it like to beat United? Have you sent a warning shot to your title rivals? Liverpool next week, blah, blah, blah. And I'd have been like, at the end, after 2 minutes of, you know, this, how does this set you up for Anfield? And he goes, we're thinking about Copenhagen. And he goes, does winning the treble give you an edge? And he's like, we're still the same people. And then it was like, we're still the same people with like maybe 30 seconds of elaboration. And then the journalist went, yeah, but doesn't that help a bit? And he just went, I think I've already answered that. Then there was like another question about like the title race or whatever. And he answered it, just turned around and fucked off after about 2 minutes in. And it was like people were still trying to like get questions in. He just went. Also, Haaland came past. Because I think City, there's like some kind of obligation City where people, well, everywhere, Premier League clubs, where the players need to come through the mix zone. And then it's up to them if they want to do an interview or not. Mm. But I got in there like after the press conferences. So you're thinking most people have probably gone already. And only two players had gone through. And then after about another 5-10 minutes, Haaland came through, but with a security guard, which is kind of like a code for I'm off kind of thing. But you got to ask. So I was like, Erling, he looked, he went, yeah. I went, fancy doing an interview? He went, no, thanks. And then like, I think one of the other lads asked him later down the line, oh, what did he say? I think he just went, sorry, mate, in his kind of like English accent, which was like that, funny, but it's kind of like the Guardiola bantering you off in a press conference kind of, all right.
That's
you could have just done it.
You've seen the screenshot that I put on Twitter of me asking Haaland's dad for an interview, and he said I said, you know, hi, I'm David. I do these podcasts about City. Would you like to just reminisce about your time at City, all that sort of stuff? Would you like a chat? And he sent me back, no thanks, thumbs up emoji.
Oh God, that is the same energy. Anyway, so Diaz, in terms of his character and as a captain, he's good, but he's not Kompany. I just feel like on the pitch, and you know, the treble's not nothing. I don't want to make it too big a factor, but we also can't diminish either. And he had a big role in that. The blocks he was made, that Bayern home game.
True, but again, Kompany won everything but the Champions League with Guardiola City.
Okay, well, thanks very much. Yes, it is.
Fine.
No, but I mean,
if that's the deciding factor, no, then it's not.
I don't think this is necessarily a case of like convincing each other. I think we can just do our own teams. But yeah, I don't know. I think it might have to be Diaz and Stones. I mean, again, Stones, there's a lot of recency bias there because he's had one phenomenal season, and it was last season.
Yeah,
and he's had maybe one other good one where he wasn't actually not fit at the end. He's had other, like
good
we
periods.
Said, 17, yeah. 18. But in his first like 4 or 5 years at City, he was just never there for the running.
All right,
so it could also be Diaz and Kompany.
I was going to say, split the difference, Diaz and Kompany.
But if we're talking about a proper team with a kind of a defender and a ball player, Stones is always going to be the ball player, isn't he? And he has done enough, even albeit recently and in spells, but even still now coming back. But again, even now, fucking the season he's barely been fit. So there is an argument that he doesn't go in it, and it could be Company and Diaz. But I'm going to go with Stones. I'm going to go with Diaz, actually.
Okay. Then left back.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'd have Stones Company. And Company. Yeah.
And again, I get that, like, because there's also different emotional attachments. Mm-hmm. And also, maybe I'm just misremembering it, but I just don't remember him being that big of a player for this, you know, not this city, because there's been three or four different ones, but for Guardiola City. Mm-hmm. Left back, tough.
I think it's got to be Zinchenko.
I think so. Oh, no. Again, thinking recency bias, but it's
Ake.
It's two seasons, obviously, treble. Ake.
We'll be back in a few minutes after an ad break. Speak to you shortly.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials. It depends on what you want your Guardiola City team to do.
Yeah.
Because you take it back to that Villa game on the last day of the season.
Yeah.
The thing they needed was someone to get to the byline and get it back.
Yeah.
And Zinchenko was that. And that's when he came on at halftime. He, along with, I mean, part of it was taking Fernandinho off, but he changed that game.
He did. But then it's like, if you want the proper defensive side of things,
Ake's your man.
And again, Guardiola after the derby was talking about Ake and his recovery pace in particular. I mentioned this earlier in the season. Like, he's obviously not as outrageously fast as Walker, but
he gets there.
He's quick enough. Mm. Like, Walker's just like freakishly fast anyway. But Diaz is always the man. He's not getting caught out for those kind of things. Like, he might have slipped at Wolves earlier this season kind of thing, but he's not really getting caught out on those. I don't know. I feel like Ake, because he's just more solid there. And also in terms of what the team needs, if you've got Stones going into midfield, then it doesn't have to be a left back anymore, does it? That's kind of the whole point.
Because you want that centre half to come in and...
Yeah. Because then if you were going to do Zinchenko going into midfield, then you could have Diaz and company.
Mm.
And you could have a very strong back three there, with Walker being the other one, Zinchenko going into the midfield. But I just feel like Ake is much more solid defensively, more reliable.
Can I throw another name in there that hasn't, whose legacy is tarnished because of the way it's ended? But Mr. Cancelo could do a job.
Yeah, God, Mr. Cancelo. That is a good point. That isn't, again,
because don't forget that before everything fell apart last season with him, people were talking about him having revolutionized that position.
Yeah. And for how, in terms of longevity as well, for how long we're talking, probably. So since...
Behind closed doors season, I forget. So 2021.
Yeah. So it was January 21 when he started to really, well, December 2020 really, up until, so 18 months really, because the start of last season wasn't great. But again, in terms of Stones going into midfield, this is the big thing. It's like, well, Cancelo could have just done that if he'd... head hadn't fallen off, because that was the whole point of Cancelo's brilliant in that 18-month period was he was going into midfield, but then he could get to the final third.
He was being a number eight at
and
times.
Also
yeah,
he was
yeah.
better in the final third than Stones. More creative, better eye for a pass, and could shoot as well. There is a big argument from being in there. But, oh, I can imagine putting him in over Walker. That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
But the absolute head loss that he had, does that not go against it? Like, because when you think about, we're picking a Guardiola side. Part of the problem here is the complete fallout.
No bad faces.
Well, this is it. The complete fallout between him and Guardiola over his attitude.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
That has to go against him.
Also, I feel like if I'm just favouring the kind of defensive stability and solidity of Ake over Zinchenko, then you would do over Cancelo as well. And again, if you're having a left back going into midfield and attacking, then you wouldn't need Stones as well. And then if you've got Stones and he's doing it, which is the great role that he does, why would you just have Cancelo to kind of attack on the left? Because when he was a kind of wide left back, I must be misremembering this or just not remembering it at all, but when he was just a wide left back, was there a criticism that he just didn't do that much?
Can't really remember. I remember
when he was a more traditional thing.
Yeah, like, I remember it always being the defensive side of the game wasn't great.
Oh yeah, that for sure. But I mean, in terms of when he was just going up the pitch, but not through the middle, it was just a bit like, I'm not really sure what's being added. No, he's an interesting one to throw into the mix. In terms of the hierarchy, again, it's difficult because if you're thinking bad faces, then Zinchenko goes above Cancelo. Mm. But I'm probably going to have Ake in there for me, I think, at left back.
It was still on the treble winning side for you.
Yeah. Well, but what can you do? Like, they won the treble. And it's not like they didn't do anything to get there. You know, again, obviously, when we're talking about defenders in particular, the defending was a huge part of it. And when we talk about those blocks and tackles, like, it was those guys. And then again, if we're doing honourable mentions, which sound like such a cliche in themselves, then Akanji was there for that. Again, it'd be very funny to put Akanji in a right back over Kyle Walker, which is something that Pep Guardiola has never said. Well, no, to be fair, obviously, at the end of last season, that was the whole point, wasn't it? So I think I'm going to go with Ake.
Okay.
But because the thing is, I'd still want Stones. I don't think I'd want Kompany and Diaz as the defenders with Cancelo providing that threat into midfield. But then it's like you do have a very solid defence there. Mm. Very solid. Not much pace, mind.
I'm all right with that, though. I'm all right with the solid
high line, no pace.
No, the solidity and Walker covering and Cancelo going in.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. As an actual proposition of could you put these two teams together in like an AI simulation, who would win? Be interesting because Cancelo is much worse than Stones defensively, but much better in the final third. That's an interesting one. But I'm going to go with, I don't know, I'm quite tempted by that. But I feel like that would look weird. I feel like that would look very strange. A back four of Walker, Kompany, Diaz, Cancelo would look mental. But I think there's a lot of merit to it.
Holding midfielder. You've got a choice of two, really, haven't you?
Yeah.
I know who I pick.
Rodri.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it is that easy, which feels very disrespectful to Fernandinho because of how good he was.
But I think that the problem is again, this comes down to the age-old Calvin Phillips argument of he can't get in because Rodri's so good.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just the case.
Well, a little bit.
Fernandinho was amazing. Rodri's just better. Yeah. Just so good.
Yeah. But even Fernandinho, in terms of the kind of improvement he had when Guardiola came in.
Well,
and then he went to like levels.
I was going
to
say, think about this, because back in Guardiola's first season, do you remember that the talk, certainly in the 98 points season, when Liverpool got 98, City got 99, was it that way around, or was it 98, 97, I can't remember. But that 18-19 season, the fear that everybody had when Fernandinho wasn't there. 2 years earlier, 16-17, Guardiola's first, Fernandinho was sent off every other week. So he wasn't there for most of the games.
Yeah.
And there was no kind of, well, we're not going to do it without Fernandinho. We're not going to be able to win without Fernandinho. It was just kind of, how's he going to set the team up without him? So in that two-year spell, Fernandinho became a fundamental part of that Guardiola team.
Yeah, and again, in terms of goals-wise, he obviously hit in the odd banger. always good for a stood up cross to the back post for someone to kind of head in. In terms of his position, you know, he would move. He was much more mobile than a typical Guardiola, because Guardiola basically wants himself, doesn't he, as a holding midfielder. That's all he can ever really think about. So he moved more than that, but he did it in a way. Obviously, he had to kind of be a bit more disciplined in those movements. But I always remember speaking to somebody, I'm sure it was before Rodri even signed, or maybe early doors. They're like, Fernandinho is great, but like, you know, Busquets is kind of the model for that. And he's like, Fernandinho's doing as well as he could possibly do for a player of his type, because, you know, he's a lot more active, a lot more combative and that kind of thing. But the inference was always that Guardiola would want more of a, like, he loved him, obviously. Like, it's not that he undervalued him in any way, but he always wanted more, or saw more his idea of the game. You know, the Guardiola style holding midfielder, and obviously in Rodri he's found
he's got that.
But again, it's funny, isn't it? Because we talk about the end of the 18-19 season, Fernandinho being seen as so irreplaceable, but obviously he wasn't, because Gundogan did such a good job. And it's funny, because now we're in that period where we think the same about Rodri. And if he were to get injured during the run-in, which is almost like a God forbid moment.
Forget it.
Maybe, you say, possibly forget it, but maybe there is a replacement that comes out, and then you could... You have this conversation in 6 months' time or a year's time, and, it's the same. You go, well, Fernandinho was amazing, but, you know, they could always find a replacement. But just in terms of saying, well, Rodri's that fundamental, that gives him the nod, it's like, well, it might not necessarily be the case, but certainly at this moment in time, it does seem it. And I feel like Rodri is just the obvious answer. I also feel like the next obvious answer is De Bruyne. Like,
well, I was going to say, this is you put De Bruyne in there, and then I think this is where it starts to get a bit messy.
I think this is going to be the same thing. Of you going for Old City and me going
for New City.
And again, I think everyone listening to this is going to have David Silva.
Yeah, I'd have David Silva and De Bruyne as the two eights.
But the thing is, I'm not saying... this isn't even like, De Bruyne wasn't... I'm not even saying this is a kind of, David Silva didn't do that much, because he did. Like, it's not the same as Kompany when I was saying, you know, he wasn't... I don't think he did as much as people believe.
But you're going to pick Gundogan ahead of him.
Yeah, I think so. But that's because he was... just more versatile and could just play in different positions and do a bit more, score more goals. It's a compelling argument, isn't it? Do you know?
I get it entirely, but
I also get why people are going to say no, it's David Silva. Because, you know, if people think that David Silva's one of, like, possibly the best player the City have ever had.
Shave your head, David, and get back in the number eight position, please.
Yeah. So for me, it is going to be Gundogan.
Yeah.
But I think we've already talked about this probably on another very similar idea that we're repurposing now for the sake of content. But, like, with my kind of Barclays Premier League brain, it's still easier to appreciate Gundogan than that, even though, you know, I'll talk about composure. Pauser, did it again the day later. Can't say I can't say the two words in a row. And obviously David Silva kind of embodies that, and that's what that's like the model of the Guardiola could say in terms of City players. Not so much, you know, obviously he's got Barcelona examples and Bayern as well. This is the guy to follow. But, like, again, in terms of replacing David Silva, that was never an issue, was it? There was never a case of, they're missing David Silva. And that's not because he wasn't good. It was just because they had Gundogan, other people to do it. Yeah. And because they had Gundogan to do that as well. I was always thinking at the back of my mind, the forward line would be difficult. I think it is quite complicated. But, yeah, I am going to go for Gundogan. Okay. Again. And again, I mean, it's not even so much a treble factor, but there is that. I mean, there's the FA Cup final factor as well. But yeah, I think in terms of the goals, the moments, the versatility, the extra positions.
A compelling argument.
David Silva was good off the ball as well, but Gundogan was better. I think he was just all around a better player.
I can certainly hear
it. Or maybe his peak isn't as high as David Silva, but he's got a much better spread of attributes. Which I think is important and something. So, yeah.
So then...
Maybe this is just deep-rooted hatred for all the City players from about 10 years ago. Maybe I've not got it out of the system.
So that then leaves you with a front three.
Yeah. Well, I think the front three is really difficult. I think the only one I've got clear in my mind is Aguero.
Okay, yeah. He just is.
It just is.
Like, Haaland...
If Haaland does it for another 5 years, then we'll have a conversation. Or, you know, if they win another treble, or, you know, just the Champions League at some point with Haaland, and he's got, even if he's only there for, like, let's say 3 years, but he scores 150 goals or something, fair play. But even then, it's like, well, Aguero was there for a decade, and it's like, I don't know why it is, but obviously I appreciate that emotional bond with Aguero from in terms of the City fans.
Well, his
more
departure
than I do
set you off, that's why.
But it's not why. It's kind of reverse engineered. Like, why did it do that? Whereas I'm sitting here saying Kompany and Silva aren't getting in.
But not all that, really.
So I'm not sure why that is. And again, like treble bias or whatever. But yeah, like, Aguero's Aguero. But also, like, as we've said a lot, he could have done the Joe Hart and go, I'm not changing. What are you talking about? But he did. And he did it all. He added all the extra. Still scoring the goals anyway.
Became what he became.
And then even, you know, when obviously had injuries in the final season. But that Everton game, when they let fans back in and he got the two goals, it was just, that was magical. But everything before that, it speaks for itself.
So now you're left with the left and right.
Yeah.
And it's, do you just go to 17, 18 and pick Sané and Sterling because that's what people want?
I don't care what people want. Also, I don't want to pick either of them.
I don't want to pick either of them, I don't think.
I don't know why it is with Sterling. I'm just really glad he's gone. I think it was more from like a media point of view of there being that definite, genuine feeling of he should be doing more, but the hard numbers and data of
say that he's
this
doing
guy
a lot
has scored so much, what more could he possibly do? But it's like, but there is more he could do. But then the other side would go, but he's doing loads already. And
it's
my brain trying to make the argument, and I'm just glad I don't have to make it anymore.
It's that you are clean through one-on-one. Yeah. Get the shot away.
Yeah, have a shot, mate.
Yeah.
Like, do they even have XG values when you just stand on the penalty spot and wait to get tackled? Like, how often would that happen?
But here's the compelling argument on the other side. Everything that happened in 17, 18 and 18, 19, Sterling was Guardiola's he was second in command to Aguero for who would turn up and do the business.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the thing is, he probably should be in there on the left wing. Again, talking about the timing of this conversation. So we're doing this the day after the Manchester derby. So it feels like Foden's got to go in, but I don't know if he has to. I don't know. I think
Foden left, Sterling right, job done.
This is why the forward line's interesting. Because I think Bernardo has to go on the right wing. You can't not have Bernardo.
No, I know. This is why I said it's going to get messy, because there's just not enough
positions. It's not that messy, because I'm not that attached to any other wingers in terms of they've got to go into this team other than Bernardo.
So Foden and Bernardo or Sterling team, and Bernardo?
It's got to be Foden or Sterling. Also, it's funny because you're just picking like the player at their best moment in that period. Because you could argue Foden's best period is like now. Like, if you could bottle that derby version Foden, then what else do you need? But Sterling had two, maybe three. Maybe if you're saying the last half of Guardiola's first season, the two title winning seasons, and the start of 1920, he was great. And obviously, we're talking about all those numbers. They are there. But you know what? I think I'm going to say Foden. It should be Sterling, but I'm going to go with Foden because
Foden,
sue me. It's our podcast.
Foden.
Thanks for listening.
Foden clean through.
Well, neither of them. I'd go
or
with
Sterling clean
I'd
through.
Go with Foden more, but I wouldn't be filled with confidence.
Mm.
But I'd rather go clean through on goal than Sterling in terms of who I'd have confidence in. My confidence in Sterling finishing a one-on-one is just rock bottom. So it's Foden by default, really.
Says a lot, because I've seen you go clean through on goal as well.
No,
so
you haven't. Never would that have happened.
No, I've seen you take a shot on from the halfway line and pull your hamstring, but
That didn't happen. No, that wouldn't have happened. Definitely would have shot from the halfway line. Good at that. I was trying to think of other players in the team I'd rather have 1v1. Any of them, really. That's the thing with Sterling. Like, he scored loads of goals. I was going to say he still does. He doesn't, because Chelsea are Chelsea. But he did score loads and did do loads for City. But I think in the end, I just kind of felt that frustration that everyone felt with him. And, you know, if we're talking about the kind of bad faces element with Cancelo, there was a lot of that.
There was an element
towards
that,
the end as well.
Change your game against Villa again.
Did he? Yeah, he did actually, yeah. Again, like, it probably should be Sterling on the balance of everything. Because, you know, obviously you can say like Foden. You said about companies won everything but the Champions League, and obviously Foden has. But like the contributions to the trophies they've both won, Sterling has probably contributed more. But I'm just going with Foden purely because of the vibes of literally yesterday as we record this. But I just, yeah, I just prefer it. Also, you got the versatility element as well. To be fair, I mean, Sterling did play as a striker for a bit, but that was a bit crap, wasn't it? He could play on the right or the left. He played as a number 8 once in that mad game against Chelsea when Aguero tried that Panenka and missed.
Oh, it was the mismatch team.
That was Ferran Torres and Sterling playing as attacking midfielders. Brilliant. Foden. Foden, Aguero.
Foden would play false 9 if you needed him to.
Yeah. I mean, the subs bench would be decent. That'd be Sterling, Sane, Fernandinho.
Haaland.
Haaland, yeah.
And then everyone would say, look at all this talent they've got on the bench that they can bring on at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. Start doing the sums on a Fantasy 11. And then, Cancelo in there. Who else? Company or Diaz, depending on who you've gone with.
Ortega's your man for...
Ortega, yeah. So what's your front three going to be?
Oh, I don't know. I've no idea. I have flip-flopped between all of these as you've been talking. I think I would settle on Aguero. It has to be Aguero for all the reasons outlined. I think I would settle on Foden and Bernardo.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. That was easy.
I think.
Yeah, again, it's fairly similar to a team that could have played at the end of last season. I mean, we've not even mentioned Grealish, have we? Because we're talking about... the proper, you know, this is the thing with this. There's probably a lot of players we've not mentioned who have been excellent, but
and
we're talking
real
about
key important parts of
proper next level. Grealish has been really important, but again, it's like if you were to come back in April and do the business, we have this conversation again, and they win more trophies. And he's the thing is the way the narrative's building now, because after the first 20 minutes against Copenhagen. The way he played, well, similar against Luton, everyone's starting to say, oh yeah, like City much better when he's in the team. And then if he does come back in the team and City win things, that will be
that will be the
narrative
reason.
Built. So it's easier to put him in. But yeah, I think at the moment, especially the way Foden's playing, this is a very kind of recent, this is very recency bias kind of thing. But I'm going to go with Foden. We've not even talked about, like, with all the others, we talked about what they have done, but now suddenly when it's Foden, we're talking about potential as well, like what they could do. Fine, sue me. It probably should be Sterling. There's an argument for Grealish. If we're talking about how a team actually functions. But I'm going with Foden.
That's it for this episode of Let Me Talk Details. Sam, there was more from this episode for members. What extra bits can people hear?
We dive into how I got my job covering City, what my role entails, and what it was like on that day when Manuel Pellegrini said he was leaving and Guardiola was coming in.
If you'd like longer ad-free versions, even earlier, all the useful links are in the episode description and over on lmtpod.com. If you want to ask us a question or send us a voice note on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, just search for LMTPod. Or you can send us an email, hello@lmtpod.com. All the useful links are in the episode description and over on lmtpod.com. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.